Good morning. Kind of a smallish group here today, and so I assume that there are people who are attending to Mother's Day celebrations. Mother's Day is kind of an interesting day. In some ways, kind of a strange day. Commemorating motherhood. Each of us, fancy this, has a mother. There isn't a human on the earth that doesn't have a mother. So we commemorate that quality of caring, of mothering, and yet. The first "and yet" for me is my resistance to the obscene commercialization of the day of observance. In the past few weeks, I have not been able to log on to any internet site or listen to my radio station or open the New York Times without being reminded and cajoled and prompted to buy cards and flowers and diamonds. All these gifts to show how we appreciate our mothers. So I think we get caught in a bind. I know in a discussion with my son, who purposefully had coffee with me on Saturday and lunch on Monday, but nothing today. He feels caught in a bind. He wants to recognize his appreciation and yet firmly resists this commercialization. Because, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be given life. And for many of us who've been fortunate, it's a wonderful thing to have connected, caring, and loving. However, you know, imperfect it may be, it's destined always to be somewhat imperfect. But we want to express our appreciation for the effort of mothering. And I would say that, as a mother myself, I'd like to be coddled. I'd like to be appreciated, recognized. But I don't want anything bought for me. You know, it's the history of our country. We have to be very careful about how the history of the day, the Remembrance Day of motherhood, has been co-opted completely by the commercialization in this country, by a pacified market society. Get a little drink of water and raise your hands above your head. This is a great cough. This is the mother talking. But that'll stop your coughing often. So Mother's Day is actually appreciated in many countries, commemorated in many countries around the world. They're all patterned after the American remembrance, which some of you may know that that it was Woodrow Wilson in 1914 that said this would be the first Mother's Day, an official observation day by a country, by a government. And through the American influence or colonial spread around the world, Many people, many different countries and peoples adopted this idea of Mother's Day. And most of them have the same kind of a form of appreciation. You're appreciating the mother, your mother at home, and giving her a gift, buying her a gift for that. But the movement itself, the idea of Mother's Day, has a very different origin. And it's kind of interesting because it dovetails very nicely with the Buddhist notion of Prajnaparamita, who is the mother of all Buddhas. It's a very similar kind of impulse. And it was in 1870, just as this country was recovering from the horrors of slavery and the Civil War, just at that time, imagine, that was a horrendous time in this country. Great violence. There was a New Yorker, a person who was from here, an abolitionist, an activist. She was the beginning of the women's rights movement. Her name was Julia Ward Howe. You may be familiar with her because she wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And she created something called the Mother's Day Proclamation. And the Mother's Day Proclamation was about international peace because of her witnessing of the horrors of the war and of the of slavery in this country. And because she was a feminist suffragette, one of the first, she decided that the way to approach this problem of violence in the world was to speak to the women of the world. And her proclamation essentially urges all the women of the world to stop the violence that at that time was mostly the business of men. Nowadays, we're quite emancipated, and women can kill just as much as men. But at that time, there weren't as many women warriors. Here's part of her proclamation. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. So she begins with, I've cut a lot of this, but basically, you know, all those who are killed are children of mothers. So let us meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let us solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace, each bearing after his own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a general congress of women without limit of nationality may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient and at the earliest period consistent with its objects, to promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace. This is Mother's Day. A little bit different from your Hallmark card. And some 40 years later, when Woodrow Wilson made the official proclamation, he added that the American flag should be flown in each of the homes, at each of the homes where Mother's Day was being commemorated, and heralded it as a remarkable opportunity for business. And yet, where is that great human family that Howe is talking about? Her vision was one of caring connections between people through the undeniable relationship of motherhood. The undeniable relationship of motherhood. that we could just right now realize, looking around the room, kind of floating above all our heads are our mothers. Hafiz, medieval Iranian poet, Sufi, wrote a beautiful poem with a great title. Your mother and my mother were friends. Think of that. So let me read this poem, it's wonderful. Your mother and my mother were friends. Fear is the cheapest room in the house. I would like to see you living in better conditions. For your mother and my mother were friends. I know the innkeeper in this part of the universe. You get some rest tonight. Come to my verse tomorrow, and we'll go speak to the friend together. I should not make any promises right now, but I know if you pray, somewhere in this world, something good will happen. God wants to see more love and playfulness in your eyes, for that is the greatest witness to him. Your soul and my soul. Your mother and my mother were friends. Isn't it wonderful? Just when we have had some wrongdoing and someone has, as we say, sinned against us, can we call up this image of your mother and my mother were friends? In the Mahayana Buddhist tradition, we might say, your mother and my mother were not two. And, we have this, the Heart Sutra that we chanted this morning. The Heart Sutra is one of the shorter versions of a whole set of literature called the Prajnaparamita literature. And there's the Prajnaparamita Sutra of 100,000 lines, and the one of 20,000 lines, and of 8,000 lines, and there's the Heart Sutra, and there's one that's just the letter A. So all you have to do in some Tendai sects is study the letter A, and you get it. What is all of this Prajnaparamita literature? It teaches us to recognize ourselves as others and others as ourselves. To recognize who we are intimately, utterly interconnected. As children and as mothers of the universe. So in this literature, in the Sutra of 8,000 lines, most specifically, we see all of these references to what is called the mother of all Buddhas. Who is the mother of all Buddhas? It is the perfect wisdom, the prajna of the other shore, paramita. So in this Sutra of 8,000 lines, there's a verse that says, if a mother with many sons had fallen ill, they all, sad in mind, would busy themselves about her. Just so also the Buddhas and the world systems in the 10 directions bring to mind the perfection of wisdom as their mother. The saviors of the world, the bodhisattvas of the world, who were in the past and also those that are just now in the 10 directions have issued from her. And so will the future ones be. She is the one who shows the world. She is the beginning, the mother of the genus of the five Buddha families. And she reveals the thoughts and actions of other beings. So if a mother with many sons had fallen ill, they all, sad in mind, would busy themselves about her. So also the Buddhas in the world systems in the 10 directions bring to mind this perfection of wisdom as their mother. So just with that same energy that we feel when we want to care for our beginning, what brought us forth in the world, our appreciation of that, of our life, the way we do that is by really, really inhabiting the wisdom of Prajnaparamita, the wisdom of our vast, interdependent, interconnected quality of being, where there is no other. How can we see ourselves as these bodhisattvas, these saviors, born to this great wisdom? It is by practicing this wisdom at every juncture and opportunity that we have in our life. It's not so different from the wisdom that woke up Julia Ward Howe when she witnessed the horrors in her time. How can the daily news that we read, the Bangladesh factory, is that not an opportunity to wake up to our interdependence with all beings? Did you check your label and see where that cool t-shirt came from? Might you have some responsibility for those deaths? For the greed that drove that man to not take care of his responsibility? We are not separate. It's really easy for us to point fingers at those two immigrants in Boston. But what is our responsibility in that? That's what Prajnaparamita, the Great Mother, teaches us. We can't cling to, we know what's right and the others are wrong, because we are those others. So can we take on that kind of natural energy like a mother that suckles a crying, cranky baby? Cleans it. Cares for it. Can we do that with a greedy, the mentally confused, the angry? How do you care for the poor and deluded that you encounter? The mother of all Buddhas is the teaching. That's why we sit facing the wall, quietly, to come in touch with that mother of all Buddhas, that realization that the sounds outside this window and the air that's touching us now are all part of this vast universe of which we are complete, a part of, and wholly it. We would not cut our hand off if we made a mistake with it. And we can't cut off the other. We have to recognize our affiliation with all that is, not just those here in this room who've chosen to spend Sunday morning facing your own personal demons in order to enter into that space of universality, but also those people who are downstairs on Broadway grasping hungry ghosts, who are shopping for what they think they need in order to be whole. shopping for what they think they need in order to be whole. The great wisdom, the great mother of all Buddhas, teaches us that we have everything we need right now, and we are capable and ready to care for others, for the suffering around us. And that we can rejoice and enjoy our lives and be playful and full of love. That is the mother of all Buddhas. And it's much more in accord with what Julia Ward Howe had in mind when she proclaimed the commemoration of Mother's Day, as opposed to what it's come to mean in this place, in this time. So let me leave you with a gatha. Where can I find the mother of all Buddhas? Is she not in the eyes of that angry teenager, deprived of a future by a selfish culture? Is she not in the arms of the desperate father who yearns for a good life for his children? Is she not in the heart of all those we call good and all those we call bad? What is left out of the mother's embrace?